Yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I'm Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, we have a pretty legendary voice with us today.
Oh, that's for sure. He's, besides his awesome voice, I mean, he's the arranger and the keyboardist for the legendary Vanilla Fudge.
Yes, Mark Stein is here today, and I'm doing well.
We are super happy to have you around here to talk about Vanilla Fudge, to talk about your amazing career. First up, of course, Stop in the Name of Love, the fudged up version. Besides being an awesome track, it's an awesome tribute to Tim Bogert. You know, rest in peace for him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about the song, and then we'll talk about Tim a little bit. But I mean, and the fact, and we'll talk about everybody in the band. But let's start with this song.
Well, Stop in the Name of Love was an idea that really our manager Tom Vitorino out in L.A. you know, was so fond of the way Vanilla Fudge interpreted Motown songs. So at one point, he wanted us to do, you know, a whole album of just Motown songs, you know, fudging them up. And Golden Robot Records out of Australia thought it was a good idea. So anyway, one of the tunes that came to mind to me was Stop in the Name of Love. So back in 2019, I had put together this template and this arrangement for the band. And while we were out touring, in November of 19, we were fortunate enough to get into the studio, and I kind of presented the arrangement to the guys, and we started putting it together as we were in the studio. And we got to a certain point, you know, and then there was all these delays, and then of course the pandemic hit that knocked the hell out of everybody in the industry for almost the next 2 years. So what happened was there was a problem with some of the leakage on the drums at the time when we recorded it. So Carmine, you know, had put together a really cool drum studio in his new house in Florida. So he had all the files sent to him, and he redid all the drums, you know, so it was really clean and powerful. And he sent, you know, everything to Pat Reagan, which is a really cool producer and mixer out in L.A. And, you know, started working on putting it all together. And Tim Bogert was very, very sick, you know, with cancer, and his wife tried to talk him into it along with Carmine. Why don't you get on this record? Let's have this be the last track with all four original members. So Tim, it was really great the way he got it together. And Jurgens, the bass player from a band called Government Mule, had a studio out in L.A. They were able to get Timmy to get there and present him with the track, and he played on it, did a really fine job, especially under the circumstances. And so that's it. And then Carmine, you know, produced it with Pat Reagan, and I chimed in and tweaked a bunch of levels here and there, and that's how the track ultimately came to be, you know. And in spite of all the craziness that went down during the recording, I think it actually came out pretty cool. So I'm really happy with it. And the way the video was put together is pretty awesome, too. So there you go.
Sure. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, it's, well, and it's so classic Vanilla Fudge. What's it like to put together an arrangement for Vanilla Fudge? How long do those kind of things take you?
Depends, you know. Again, it's like on this thing, I had this idea and, you know, presented the ideas to them. This one took 2 years because of the pandemic. I mean, there's no time limit on how long it takes. In the old days, I'd come up with ideas. I'd sit down with Vinnie Martell, the guitar player. He'd come up with guitar ideas, you know, and then Tim and Carmine would come in and we'd rehearse it. And, you know, we'd probably have things done in a matter of days, really. So it was ready to record.
And then what makes a song good to be fudged? Is it something that you like, that you want to hear? Is it something that you think works best for your voice?
It's all those things. You know, if we hear a song, we like Keep Me Hanging On. Let me go way back, man, to like 1966, if you will. I was sitting in front of the Cheetah Discotheque on Broadway in New York City in the winter with Tim Bogert in his car. We were having a drink and smoking something, whatever it was. And the Supremes hit "You Keep Hanging On" came on the radio. And we looked at each other and said, "Man, that sounds so fast. What would it be like if we slowed it down, you know, and put some soul to it?" And Tim said, "You know, why don't you go to work on it?" I said, "Okay," I did. So I came up with some introduction ideas and a template for that. And Vinnie Martell had this killer rock raga intro that he, which has become a legendary guitar intro that he came up with. So at the time we were playing at a discotheque on the west side of New York called Onganos. So me and Vin were working on it together, and Tim and Carmine showed up, and they just fell right into it with some great rhythm section parts, and the vocals all came. And after a couple of hours, man, we knew we had something really special. We couldn't wait to, you know, play it live and unleash it to the world. And there you go. Here we are over half a century later, and that still stands up as an iconic rock track, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you attribute the longevity of Vanilla Fudge and, like, the desire for the fans for new music? Like, what, you know, what does that, what do you attribute to that, and what does that mean to you?
Well, it means a lot. I mean, we reunited and broke up so many times over the years, but back in 2005, Tom Vitorino, you know, a manager who I mentioned earlier in this discussion, had an idea for the band to, you know, to get back together, all original members. And he was putting a tour together with the Doors of the 21st Century. So, you know, when I first heard that idea, I was deciding if I really wanted to get back together and do it. And it just sounded like it would be a lot of fun. I don't know how it would be emotionally for everybody. So we all decided to do it, to get back together. And we did about 25 shows throughout North America and a lot of dates in Canada. We played, you know, I think we played, you know, Calgary. We played all the major cities, you know, Montreal. We played the King Center, I guess. We played in just all over. I'm having a hard time remembering all the cities, but it was all the major cities. And it was a really fun, successful tour. So we kind of get back into the groove at that point as the original band. And we just kept going from there. You know, we recorded a tribute album to Led Zeppelin called Out Through the Indoor in 2007, I think. And we just went on and did a whole bunch of dates, you know.
And then, of course, you know, the band itself, I mean, is amazing. I mean, Vinny and Carmine and stuff like that. What is it like then with the history that you have with them? And does that history, when you get back together, kind of mean that you fall into old patterns? But are they good old patterns for the most part?
For the most part, they're good old patterns, you know. Tim was an incredible bass player. God rest his soul. You know, he passed last January. And, I mean, when the band gets back together, man, it's just like riding a bike, you know? It's like we have a natural collective chemistry together that seems to always work if we're young, middle-aged, or old, you know? And it's still working today. So I guess it's a blessing, you know, that presented ourselves to us as a band, you know? We have a bunch of dates that are scheduled to play in the late fall, and I'm just hoping that the COVID thing doesn't, you know, raise its ugly head and say you can't do it. But right now we're doing it. Actually, we were going to play in Chicago on September 30th and October 1st. We had some cool shows, and I just found out that it's been canceled because of COVID. So we're fighting that evil thing that's out there, but us and everybody else in the music industry. So we're going to see how it all plays out.
Mhm, mhm. I mean, of course, it's been so hard for most everybody, and not just musicians, of course. I mean, you've got the roadies and all the agents and everything else. I mean, it's quite crazy to
think of everything. Yeah, it's very difficult across the board for everybody with this situation.
So, in your case, what have you been doing to kind of keep active in the?
I am very happy to announce, very pleased and excited to announce that I have a solo album coming out at the end of this year. It's on Decca Records, really cool indie label. My first single is called We Are One, which I wrote in honor of, you know, what's going on in humanity with the pandemic. I wrote it, you know, about a year ago, and I'm real excited about this song, which will be coming out October 1st. The album will come out at the end of the year or beginning of the new year. The album is called There's a Light, and it contains all kinds of social songs that reflect on racism, All Lives Matter. I did covers of Ball of Confusion and People Gotta Be Free, and there's a lot of excitement about this release. So I'm very happy to announce that that's going on. That's what I've been working on a lot during the pandemic. So here we are.
Yeah, I heard the Ball of Confusion or a version of Ball of Confusion by you. I mean, it sounds great for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's going to be on the album.
So then, you know, how important is it for you to be able to have the, you know, the social commentary on your albums and just as your voice?
It's who I am. You know, over the last couple of years, I write songs that are relative to social conditions in the country and the world. And I got a lot of slack from a lot of people that think, well, you know, you shouldn't be writing songs like that. Racism, they're going to call you a racist, you know. And from certain producers, I said, you know what? This song is about the fact that it exists. You know, when you listen to the lyrics, it's just a positive light on it. And why it happened and how it happened. And, you know, when you hear the track, I think you'll concur. But songs like All Lives Matter is about that. It's about Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. To God, you know, He is our creator. It's a spiritual song about All Lives Matter. You know, my cover on People Gotta Be Free and all these songs, We Are One. It all ties together and how I grew up and how I thought life was at one time, how the country was, how I think the country is today, and how I hope that it will be once again. So it's a positive song called, the positive album called There's a Light. So it's got a message, and I hope you enjoy it, and I hope people hear it that enjoy the songs.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Racism as well when giving that a listen.
Oh, cool.
So, cool. Yeah, I'm very excited for the new album. You know, and it's interesting because I was reading one of your interviews that you had done and where you talk about the idea of way back in the early days of playing your Supremes version, like the Deep South, and like, oh, you're gonna cause an uproar. But like you say, that's kind of you and how you know, need to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, when Vanilla Fudge first came out, I mean, we kind of turned the industry on its ear because, you know, at the time, in the late 60s, you could only do a 3-minute song on AM radio, you know. But when we came out with all of these psychedelic symphonic arrangements, you know, these 5, 6, 7 minute arrangements, you know, they started playing it on underground radio. I mean, it was the timing was perfect. You know, New York, WNEW FM in New York, you know, stations in LA, stations in Chicago and San Francisco and all across Canada in the late 60s, they were able to, you know, to play these long versions. And if it wasn't for the, you know, for the creation of underground radio, who knows if Vanilla Fudge would have actually got heard or any of the other bands that we influenced at the time. So That was a pretty cool thing that happened at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially, I mean, nowadays, I mean, radio's even harder to get on than it was back then. So it's lucky that you were able to break in that moment. I mean, now you can release singles, of course, and you can do it digitally. But I mean, the recording industry has changed so much, and I'm sure that
it's like a whole different world. I'm still trying to figure it out, man. You know, us old school guys are like, you know, it's kind of confusing, but I'm being made aware of how all the parts fit in this modern puzzle, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess especially with the new album coming out and all the new Vanilla Fudge. I mean, you've got to try to get on it and figure it out. Like, what's it like then working with Golden Robot, and in the case of your solo album Deco, working with those labels, are they helping
Well,
you out with that?
Deco is great. I mean, they got it all happening. They're going to be, they're leading me, through it all. I mean, they're doing all these digital releases, all the stuff that's necessary in today's world, and there's going to be a lot of promotion. I mean, it should be really cool and exciting. I'm really, psyched about it. I'm looking forward to getting this going now. I got management, and it's nice to have people that care and want to see this happen for me. So we'll see how it plays out.
So, what does a day in the life of Mark Stein look like on it for a normal week?
A day in the life is I wake up, I play with my cat Bentley, I make sure my wife is feeling good. I'm looking out at the lake here with the swans and the ducks. I titter around on my piano, I make phone calls, I check my emails. The day in the life of me is the same as the day in the life of most musicians over the last 2 years. Before that, it was getting ready to, call an Uber to get to the airport so I can get on the plane and meet the guys in a specific city and go to sound checks and, play shows and go to merchandise tables and sign autographs and take pictures with fans and sell CDs and T-shirts and what have you, get back in the car, get back to the hotel, get to sleep, get up, go to the next town, and go through the whole thing all over again, man. But the last 2 years have changed all of that. So, now we're just trying to be everyday America, or wherever you are in the world, just get through the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those cases, of course, too, where I'm fascinated because, like, I always wonder how much time people spend playing their instruments. Like, is it the kind of case where you still feel the need to play a lot? Do you just kind of touch it a little bit?
Yeah, that's a good question because when we're ready to do shows, we're ready to do a tour, I'd take nothing for granted, certainly as I'm getting older. So I get on the keyboards, I practice my chops, I practice my voice, I make sure I'm, ready, just like a baseball player, man, that's sitting on the bench and has to be ready to get to the plate and get back into the game when he's called upon. You got to be ready, man. So I got to make sure I'm ready vocally and instrumentally, and I'm sure all the guys in the band do that the same. And that's pretty much encompasses everything that you're asking,
What kind of things do you do to keep your voice in shape as well? Like, I also read in that interview, you talked about Frank Zappa and how he kind of helped you out that one time with some
When I
honey
was a
in the
kid,
tea. Yeah. And so, like,
yeah, man, that was. Yeah.
did that kind
Yeah,
of
way back
change
then we were.
your mindset on your voice?
Well, back then I was a kid. I was partying all the time. I was up 2, 3 days on drugs and alcohol. I was part of the 60s revolution, So Zappa, I mean, I was so hoarse one day when he calmed me down in the dressing room and was really befriended me, gave me some hot tea and honey and, gave me some philosophies that you'll get through tonight. He helped me, and I did get through tonight. But this was 1967. Fast forward 50 years, man. I mean, I'm a grown adult. I don't do those things anymore for many years. So the key to it is just eating healthy and having a good life, and trying to get as much sleep as you need, and just make sure you don't do anything stupid, and do the right thing. You should be fine. Yeah, but make sure you're practicing. You make sure your voice and your hands are in shape, and that's the key for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you hear the things, of course, that you've done and that you can do. When did you kind of figure out you and your style?
Well, I'm just a product of all my influences, Felix Cavalieri was my early mentor from the Young Rascals on the Hammond and vocals. He was incredible in the 60s. He had tremendous influence on me. And also Leslie West's band called The Vagrants. They were the first band that I ever witnessed doing songs with dynamics and drama and slowing songs down. They used to do, you know, songs like Exodus and If I Were a Carpenter and all these songs. And, you know, as a kid, I was blown away by their style. And it was the combination of the Rascals and the Vagrants that inspired me to the point that I knew what I wanted to do musically. That's where it all started.
Mm-hmm. Now then, as of course you're putting Fudge together and stuff like that, I mean, you had Vinny and then Tim, and you found Carmine later. Like, what was it that what was it that attracted you to each of them, and what do you think individually makes them, you know, part of that chemistry that makes Vanilla Fudge so great?
Well, you know, when I got to that point, as you asked how I discovered what I wanted to do, so it was Tim Bogert and myself were playing in a band called Rick Martin and the Showmen, and when we started getting exposed to modern music like the Rascals and the Vagrants out there in Long Island, we knew we wanted to do something, you know, different. So when we left the band, we recruited Vinnie Martell from the Bronx, and you know, our first experience with him was really positive. We thought he was great. He was a cool looking young guy. And Joey Brennan was our drummer at the time, and he kind of played like Charlie Watts, God rest his soul as well, Charlie. But he was like a straight ahead kind of, he was good rock drummer, but being able to do the symphonic approach that we wanted to do, we needed to get a drummer that was capable of it. So me and Tim started looking for a new drummer. We found Carmine in a place called the Choo Choo Club in Garfield, New Jersey, around 1966. And we were like knocked out with the power and the independence and the funk and his look, you know. So after he played his gig in the club, I asked him to come outside. And me and Tim told him about the approach and music we wanted to do. And he said, yeah, man, let's do it. It sounds awesome. Sounds exciting. So we recruited Carmine that way. And we started rehearsing in a bar in Bayonne, New Jersey. And we hooked up with our manager out in Long Island. And he liked the band, gave us an audition. And that was the beginning of that next phase.
Was it like, you know, what was the difference between like rehearsing back then and rehearsing now?
Well, rehearsing now, you know, again, it's like riding a bike. We get together a day before the show after not seeing each other for a while. We just brush up and, again, everybody makes sure they're in pretty good shape. And we rehearse and that's it. We do the show. Mm-hmm. Back then, that was all we did. That was our life, constantly playing, constantly rehearsing, constantly coming up with good ideas, constantly hanging out, constantly singing in the cars on the way to these clubs. We developed all that style, and that's it, man.
Yeah, because it's one of the things that I love about Vanilla Fudge is all the harmonies and just the great vocals. And I know we talked to Carmine about it and just that whole singing and everything like that. So yeah, it's just like, was that all just being in the car and just hanging out all the time? Because was that intended from you, or did you kind of realize that sounded
singers.
Great?
I was a street singer. I did, you know, they call it doo-wop, but when I was a kid, you know, when I was 14, 15 years old, I sang in all the streets in Hudson County with all the brothers, man, you know. I had some really good a cappella groups. Carmine sang in the streets in Brooklyn. He was doing the same thing at the time. So all this led up to what we did with the Fudge, with the harmony. We had all that experience vocally, you know, and Vinny had a great voice, very, you know, commanding middle range kind of voice. And Tim had an incredible high voice. So the blend just happened, and the chemistry happened vocally, instrumentally. And we came up with that first album, which was a milestone album. And I guess the rest is history, you know, so we could talk forever about it. But here we are again.
Well, and of course, one of the things too to talk about is your book, You Keep Me Hanging On. And I'm kind of interested in that because of the fact, like, I definitely want to read it, but the fact that it's not actually a biography, that it's you talking to some of these amazing artists and just kind of, you know, talking about music, which we all love to talk about, but, you know, what kind of was the impetus for that?
What, for my book?
Yeah.
Well, people are always on my back, on my ass to, you got to write a book, man. You've done so much. You've known so many people. So, yeah, I'll get to it, you know. And so one day I went to my mailroom, and I got a book in the mail called A Patriot's History of the United States. That's the name of this big, thick book. And it was written by Larry Schweikart, who was at the time a history professor in Ohio. And in the book, it said, to Mark Stein, I'm such a big fan of yours. I love Vanilla Fudge. I just wanted you to have this book. So I just thought, wow, you know, I sent him an email. I said, thanks for the book. I've been thinking about finding somebody to help me collaborate on a book. And he said, I'd be really interested. And it just so happens that Larry Schweikart was in the audience in 1968 in Phoenix, Arizona, when we were opening for Jimi Hendrix, right? So this is a pretty seminal moment. Anyway, he agreed to help me collaborate on the book. And he said I needed to do like an overview. So I locked myself in the house for a couple of weeks and I hand wrote a overview of what I wanted. I had my wife, Patty, transcribe it to the computer. We sent it to him. He liked it. And we worked on the book together. And we got a lot of great interviews, like from people like Billy Joel and Felix Cavalieri and, you know, Robbie Krieger from The Doors. And there's so many people. Sid Bernstein, who brought the Beatles to America, did an interview for the book. So that's how we collaborated that way, back and forth. And it took about 3.5 years. And the book isn't an autobiography. It's a biography, and it's written in the third person, and it covers like about 50 years of rock history. So it's been critically acclaimed, and it's on Amazon, and it's also on mark-stein.com. And it's called You Keep Me Hanging On, The Raging Story of Rock Music's Golden Age. So there you have it.
Is it, you know, was it kind of a different mindset for you to sit down to actually write a book versus writing songs, say?
Well, yeah, I mean, completely different. It's a whole different animal. You know, it's a lot of perseverance writing a book. And again, it took a number of years to get it done. So it's out there. I hope you pick it up. I hope you read it. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I definitely want to. I mean, it's because, again, it's all that rock and roll thing. And I love talking about rock and roll. I certainly love the music. What, as you were going, were there stories that you found out that kind of surprised you?
Well, the book is, you know, all the things that transpired in my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's I wasn't really, you know, what was a really terrible surprise was John Lord was all set up to do an interview for my book, and we were in contact back and forth from England to the States, and he was excited to be in the book, and suddenly I stopped hearing from him, you know, and then ultimately, of course, I found out he was very sick, and that kind of saddened me, and he passed away from, you know, from cancer. So that was a bad surprise for me during the course of that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then of course you were such an influence on him too. So it's always a tragedy when talented people pass on. But you know, it must be interesting to know that you were such an influence on him as well.
Well, yeah, I'm really flattered because I guess I was, because, you know, when the Fudge came out in the late '60s, and we played in England, Deep Purple came to see us. They were just forming, and they loved our music and our style. And when they first came out, they were actually called the English Vanilla Fudge, you know. And you can read comments from Ritchie Blackmore. They had some real kind things to say about us. So, yeah, man, I know we had a lot of influence on Uriah Heep and Styx and even Yes and even Led Zeppelin when we toured together in the early days. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just give you one chance to tell everybody one last time where they can find you and how they can keep up with you.
Yeah, this is, again, Mark Stein from classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. You can find me on mark-stein.com. And I'm talking to, on behalf of the band, we hope you'll enjoy the new release, Stop in the Name of Love, which is out on all digital platforms as we speak. And it's gotten a really good response. And I hope you'll get into my new solo album called There's a Light, which should be out at the end of the year. And my new single, We Are One, should be out October 1st. We hope you'll give it a listen. I hope you'll give it a listen. And we wish everybody a safe journey and getting through this pandemic okay. And here we are.
That's right. Well, I urge everybody to go out and give it a listen because everything that I've heard so far is awesome and I'm really enjoying it. So, Mark, it's been wonderful to talk to you and we wish you nothing but the best in the future. And thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure and thank you so much, you guys. We hope you enjoy everything and best of luck to you and your families and stay safe.
You bet. Same to you. Thanks.
Okay. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.